Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you've heard me say before that, you know, they say that every preacher has about three or four sermons in them, and it just gets repeated over time in different language. Well, sometimes we even use the same words. And this is one of those days where this day, this World Communion Sunday, really lives for me at the core and at the heart of everything we were born to do as human beings on this planet. It's at the heart of what our religion or any good religion preaches. It's also at the core of our very purpose on this planet while we're alive. And at the core and the heart of your pastor's favorite sermons to teach are two Jewish teachings. And the first one is called Tikkun Olam. It's often translated as repairing the world or repairing the cosmos. And no one tells the story of Tikkun Olam better, in my opinion, than Rachel Naomi Remen. And so these are her words. She says, "In the beginning, there was only the holy darkness, the Ein Sof, the source of life. And then in the course of history, at a moment in time, this world, the world of a thousand things, emerged from the heart of the holy darkness as a great ray of light. And then, perhaps because this is a Jewish story, there was an accident. And the vessels containing the light of the world, the wholeness of the world, broke. And the wholeness of the world, the light of the world, was scattered into a thousand fragments of life, light, and they fell into all events and all people, where they remain deeply hidden until this very day." Now, according to her grandfather, the whole human race is a response to this accident. We are here. We are born with the capacity to find the hidden light in all events and all people, to lift it up and make it visible once again, and thereby to restore the innate wholeness of the world. And that's a very important story for our times. And this task is called Tikkun Olam in Hebrew. It's the restoration of the world. And this is, of course, a collective task. It involves all people who have ever been born, all people presently alive, and all people yet to be born. We are all healers of the world. And so that story opens this sense of possibility. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference. It's about healing the world that touches you, the world that's around you. End quote. So that's one of the Jewish teachings that lives at the heart. The other one that lives at the center of my heart is one that happens this time of year, and it's called the Festival of the Booths, or Sukkot. And during that festival, people build sukkahs, or huts, and according to rabbinic tradition, and you've heard me talk about this before, so my hope is that, well, if you hear it enough, you'll start telling other people about the wonderful meaning of these sukkahs. They represent the huts that the Israelites dwelt in during their 40 years of wandering in the desert after escaping slavery in Egypt. Traditionally, they're made of different kinds of branches, symbolizing the diversity of the Jewish people. So there's the etrog fruit from one branch that produces both a highly fragrant smell and taste. So that represents people, or Jews in this case, who have both the knowledge of the Torah, that is the law, and a mitzvah, which is acting on the commandments or doing good deeds. So that's the fragrant one that has both the smell and the taste, knowledge of the law and compassion, a heart to do good deeds. And then there's the myrtle leaf, Now that represents people who have done great deeds, but they have no knowledge of the law. So that would indicate you don't have to have knowledge of the Jewish law to be a good person. And then the palm branch represents someone who has knowledge of the law, but performs no good deeds. And then there's the willow branch, which has neither taste nor smell, and that represents someone who has no knowledge of either. But instead of separating one branch from the other, the branches are all intertwined to build a dwelling place. And in doing so, this symbolically unites all Jews, or in our case, all people. And then the roofs are left partially open on purpose, as a reminder that we are one people living under the same stars. And when it rains not just on one person, but on all people. All people. And then in addition, there's this extra chair set inside to symbolically invite ancestors or those in need of a place to rest their head, a place to be welcomed into, a place to cease being separated from one another. So this dwelling place is made beautiful with branches and fruit in a deep recognition of the diversity and the unity of people. So there it is. These two traditions, these two teachings, each one of us connects us with a larger purpose. Each one of those reminds us simultaneously of how big our world is and how important individual acts of kindness and healing are in connecting us with our past and our present and our future. And then Paul's scripture this morning, urging the Ephesians, lead a worthy life, worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And if we get nothing else, just get that. This idea that we're all one seems really foreign right now, given our current climate. We're divided into categories, we're divided into identities. If you're not with me, you're against me. That's where we seem to be. But I'm so hopeful because I can see the movement already. I see people standing up. I see people resisting and making their voices heard. I see people making speeches about kindness and coming together. And I do believe that decency will return to our culture. And this is what worldwide communion is all about. It's a reminder that we are indeed one in the bread, one in the body, one in the love of Jesus Christ. Which does not mean that those who don't follow Jesus are not one with us. It just means that we as Christians, that's our way into becoming one. But others have their own ways into becoming one with God and humanity. So what do we do with all of that? On a concrete level, what do you do? How do you go about healing and repairing a broken world? How do you build a sukkah in your everyday exchanges with the world around you? Through acts of love and kindness. That's it. That's it, all of it. Everything that I'm trying to teach can be reduced to a bumper sticker. Perform loving acts of kindness. That's it. Now remember, I said pastors have 3 or 4 sermons. Well, here's another one of my greatest hits. This is Greatest Hits Sunday. takes us a lifetime to become a child again. It takes us a lifetime to recognize the profound wisdom in the simplest messages, like that wonderful "everything I ever needed to know I learned in kindergarten." Be kind. Hold hands and stick together. And share your stuff. And then in our gospel reading, Jesus makes it so clear. If you want to know about the kingdom of God, just look to the children. Now, Jesus doesn't necessarily say this, but I think it's a part of what he's trying to convey. It's how very wise in their purity children can be. You heard Gabby say, one person. We're all one person, one human. In their openness, in their curiosity, in their ability to look beyond color and beyond privilege and gender and everything else that adults allow to blind them into understanding that we are one creation before we are anything else. You remember that story about the astronomer and the theologian that I love to tell? One asks the other, if you were to take all your years of education and learning and studying and you were to sum up everything you learned into one sentence, what would it be? And the astronomer thinks about that and he says, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are." And then you remember what the theologian said? "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." It takes us a lifetime to realize the wisdom in the simplest and the purest of teachings. Now let's assume for a minute, maybe that's not what Jesus was saying. Maybe he wasn't saying that at all. Maybe Jesus, who was a Jew and liked the Jewish teachings that I've been taught over the year, is doing something new. Because it's never enough to just learn something and stay there. It has to become a part of you. It has to become a part of your world through doing something. So here comes your pastor's third most common sermon. We practice by doing. We get out and we help to repair a broken world, not so that we can feel good about ourselves. We do it simply because we all live under the same stars. And when we see an injustice in the world, we stand up and we help to repair the light to its proper place. Jesus took the little children to him because children held one of the lowest places within that society at that time, and women were not far behind. And the passage that you didn't hear, the one that I avoided, because it turns out it's just really hard to preach on. And it's Peace Sunday and Communion Sunday, and it didn't seem to go. But now I understand how it goes. It's all about the Pharisees coming to Jesus and testing him about divorce. And they ask a question about divorce. And Jesus has a lot to say about it. But when you look at the whole pericope of all the passages put together, my understanding is that Jesus takes what the Pharisees are doing and he flips it upside down. Jesus, without unpacking this too much, he redefines once again what the kingdom of God is. It's not a place that people enter by following all the rules to the point of excluding other people. It's about recognizing where the injustice is, where the least of God's children are, and redefining power structures so that the last will become first. And in these scriptures, that means women and children and the poor and the orphaned and the widow and the sick and the hungry, the broken, the ones that are hurting. You want to get to know the kingdom of God, get to know someone who's hurting. So when we go out into the world, it's not about performing loving acts of kindness so we can feel good about ourselves in the world. It's because as children of God's, when one of us is hurting, we should all hurt. And when we see a hungry person and feed them, we share what we have because there's an injustice. There's a brokenness in our world when people go to bed hungry. And God calls on us to repair that injustice by doing our part. So today is our biggest reminder of where our place in this world is. And it lives here. It lives in a heart that is not hardened. Jesus loves to use this word in Greek, translates hardness of heart. It's what he's preaching against in that portion around divorce. And I can't remember the word, but it translates as cardiosclerosis, hardness of heart. So what kind of heart are you holding? And how do we cultivate our lives as a constant reminder of that? Through ritual, through spiritual practices that take us to places of gratitude. Fourth sermon, most preached common sermon, fourth greatest hit. When we practice in our lives a deeper sense of the holy and hidden love of God, Christ, and Spirit in every corner and facet of our lives, the more we cultivate a sense of gratitude for everything we've been given. And when that love fills our heart, if we're open to it, it will feel as though your heart is bursting at the seams. And then we're just left with no choice but to share that love in the world. And then we also practice through ritual by coming here to worship a God as a way of giving thanks and a way of connecting and of bringing our whole selves, the good and the broken pieces, to a God who restores us into wholeness through love. And then sacrament. We cultivate that heart through the sacrament, by sharing through one of our most basic needs, to eat food and bread, and to drink from a cup, so that we might come with humility that none of us do any of this alone, but in communion with Christ, who brings us into communion and into community with one another, and with a whole world of people who are all living under the same stars, because when it rains on one of us, it rains on all of us, and when the sun shines on one of us, it shines on all of us. And all the people said, Amen.